Praise Him, my Savior.
This is my story.
That's our story.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. Look at verse 13. And the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the knowledge that it gives us and the blessings that it brings to us. And, oh God, the glorious gospel that it has revealed. It's a wonderful thing. Help us today as we study your word. May we get some insight. Father, may we be blessed, be drawn closer to you. And, Lord, we ask you to forgive us where we fail you.
Amen.
And bless this word as far as it goes. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I was thinking about Satan. And you have an adversary. It's not really that fellow in front of you that you don't like. It's not really that person that you're mad at. But you've got an adversary, and I just read you about him from Ezekiel. Notice something about it. He was in Eden. You find that out in the book of Genesis too, in the garden of God. It says in verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Now you may not know, but the cherubs and the seraph, the cherubim, that's plural, seraphim is plural, and cherub is singular, and seraph would be singular. And these are the same things. These are beings around God. There's four now. There used to be five. This one was the anointed cherub that covered the throne of God. And he lost his place. But it says, thou wast perfect in thy ways, verse 15, from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. Wow. God created him, and he was perfect until iniquity came. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Now I sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub. Now if you go to the book of Isaiah, we've got a little more that we learn about Satan. Isaiah 14:12. Excuse me, my voice is gone away from me. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Now we get him a name, Satan and Lucifer. Son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And what we have here is your adversary. You have an enemy. He's a very powerful enemy. He can do you a great deal of damage. He speaks in your mind just the same place that God speaks to you. The Holy Spirit of God speaks in your mind with your own voice. And you listen to it as you think. And many times you need to recognize sometimes that's God speaking to you. You need to recognize sometimes God, the Holy Spirit, is trying to guide you, lead you, help you, bring you around, give a blessing to you. And this is the enemy that you have. It's not really that person you think you're mad at. It's amazing how we can lose our temper and want to be down on somebody, and they can bother us so that we lose our sleep. I've had the time where I lost sleep over days. I would turn them over to the Lord. I do believe the Bible. I try to live what it says. And he says in the 8th chapter of Romans, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now do you believe that? You do until it comes to somebody cuts you off in traffic. And you do until somebody doesn't go your way. You do that way until you want to pay somebody back. Have you ever thought about it? What if you pay them back and you pay them back too much? What if you give them more than what God would have given them? Well, now then God's on the other side of the equation. He's got to make things right. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. You don't want to be messing with something like that. You need to learn to trust God. How much better would your life be if even your marriage, if instead of holding grudges, you would forgive? Instead of holding grudges, you would say, the Lord will work all that out. Can you trust the Lord? Well, if you can trust the Lord, why then you don't have to take care of it, do you? Amazing thing. I had an experience in my life about the first time that I ever used that verse in experience. I was holding a revival meeting in San Antonio. And it was in a church, held about 100 people inside it. No air conditioning or anything like that. Had windows all the way down both sides. And the pastor, every night, would get up and say, whatever offering you have, this offering is for the evangelist. And so you can just give, assured that this will go to the evangelist. And so I preached a week. We had a revival. I mean, it was packed every night. And the windows were open, and people were standing outside at the windows. We had a bunch of people get saved. I was having a time of my life, man. It was fun and games. I got through at the end of the meeting, and they gave me a check for $100. I didn't think a thing about it. My daddy brought me over to have lunch with him on a certain day in the week. And he said, well, Lindell, what sort of an offering did they give you? I said, Dad, they gave me $100. His jaw dropped. He said, I gave you a lot more than $100. My daddy never gave me a dime through a church again. Never. He continued to support me. But he saw his money stolen by a lying pastor. Now, I was a sissy till I was 6 years old. And then at 6, I started fighting two brothers next door to me. One of them was 13 days from my age, and one was 2 years older. And they fought together. And so I learned to fight from the bottom up. So after 6, on up till about 20, I was a fighter. I had a lot of fights. I got in the service. I had fights with people in the service. And come the first day after I got saved, I was in the Air Force in Roswell, New Mexico, and one of the mechanics that was a friend of mine was looking out the window, and we were looking, he's telling me they're making $50 a day. Well, smart mouth. I opened my smart mouth. And I said, well, I'm not going to call you a liar, but whoever told you that was. And he hit me. Boom. I just got saved the day before. Jesus, I knew, said, turn the other cheek. And so I told him, hit me once more and I'll mop the floor with you. I backed him around until finally one of the officers came in and separated us and shut it up. Now that's the last fight I ever had. I had a few times when I was really tempted, really tempted. This was one of those times. You know what I wanted to do? Not just the money that I lost for myself and my family, that the Lord gave to me. I wanted to beat the snot out of that preacher. I'm the evangelist. I'm a preacher of the gospel. The people had a great meeting. But down in my heart, I wasn't around to trust God's going to get him enough. I'm just going to have to take care of this myself. And then I realized, no, you're not believing the book. And I asked the Lord, I told the Lord, Lord, I'm going to leave him in your hands. I'm not going to touch him. But I went to him and I confronted him. And I said, preacher, you lied to people every night, and my family was coming. My father believed you, and he gave me more than what you gave me. Why did you do it? Well, we thought we needed it more than you did. Well, that wasn't what you told the people. You lied to the people every night of this thing. I would love to beat you up. I really would. But I'm not going to. Lord, I give him to you. He's in your hands. I lay my hand off of him. Within 6 months, that pastor was thrown out and gone. Somebody accused him of fondling a woman at the altar. I don't know how you'd get away with that, but that's what the accusation was. And then the church just disappeared. The church is not there anymore. Within 6 months' time, I had several members of that church come drive all the way out to Southwest Baptist Church, where I was pastor. And had good friends, good fellowship, and whatever. You know what? You need to learn to let the Lord take care of some of your things. He said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You don't have to take care of all of the business that comes your way. You don't have to get mad at everybody that treats you wrong. You do not have to pay everybody back. You don't even have to speak back to them. Now, I'm such a smart aleck, I want to speak back. Berlina and I had a lot of fun. She was a very sarcastic woman. You don't believe it, but she was. She loved sarcasm. And so I would sometimes hit her with something, bang, bang, you know, and she'd come right back to me. Bonnie Brinker was that way. Bonnie Baldwin. She had a smart mouth, and you could hit her, and boy, she would come back on you just as quick as you could imagine. You know something? You have an enemy, and it's not the person in flesh and blood in front of you. He says it right here. He said he was the anointed cherub that covers. You're not dealing with an average person. You're not dealing with a human being. You're dealing with a created being of God, a cherub or a seraph. And he was the anointed cherub that covered. He had the highest position there was. He was perfect in his ways from the day he was created till iniquity was found in him. And what is his iniquity? He wants to be bigger than God. Now, he's not eternal. He's not all wise. He's not God. He's also not human. But he's a being with a great deal of power. Now, he said in his heart he was going to ascend into heaven and exalt his throne above the stars of God. But he's going to be brought down. Now, in the book of Job, chapter 41, verses 33 and 34, there's a couple of sentences that I believe belong to Satan. Here's what they say. Up on earth there is not his like, who is made without fear. He beholdeth all high things. He is a king over the children of pride. Have you ever noticed how when a teenage boy starts running around, getting tough and smart, you ever saw how they don't fear? They don't have enough intelligence to fear. That's the truth. They don't know what they're getting into. I laugh and say sometimes when I was young like that, I thought I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Well, at 20 years old, one of my buddies drove my truck and burned up in my place. And I realized 20-year-olds can die too. And I got saved after that. What a blessing. But it's an amazing thing that sometimes the devil's people, the ones that are following his leadership, they don't seem to have fear. Have you ever noticed how positive some of these thieves and murderers and drunkards and whatever are? They're just positive they're not going to get caught. All the police are dumb. They're a bunch of idiots. They don't know how to do anything. We're smart. We're going to get him around. I do think that upon earth is not his like. He's made without fear. And I do think that he's the king over the children of pride. I think the Bible is describing him pretty good. Well, let me tell you what. He is your enemy. He is your worst enemy. Now, if you turn to Mark chapter 4 and verse 13, there is a parable. It's the parable of the sower. I'm not going to, I've preached on it many times. I love it. It's very clear. It's the parable of parables. It's the parable that explains the gospel in such a clear way and how it works out and how it works and things. And here's what it says here. He said unto them, Mark 4:13, know ye not this parable, and how then will you know all parables? If you don't understand this parable of the seed and the sower, then you're not going to understand much else. Now the sower soweth the word. Well, we know what that is. That's preaching of the gospel. That's spreading gospel tracts out. That's passing out Gospel of John or New Testament. That's going out on the corners of the street and asking if anybody wants to be prayed about. Amen. And he says, if you don't know this parable, well, you're going to miss out on all things. This is the center of the teaching that I'm going to be teaching you in this gospel. It says, the sower soweth the word. That makes sense. These are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, and when they have heard, Satan. How about that? Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Isn't that amazing? I don't know how many of you have visited a lot over the years. I've been here a long time. I've been preaching 63 years. And I've been an evangelist for most of that time, and personal evangelism or preaching evangelism. I've knocked on a lot of doors. I've talked to a lot of people. I have seen the phone ring. I've seen kids go throw a fit. I've seen people knock on the doors. Anything to take people's attention away from the Word of God that you're trying to give them so that they can be saved. I've knocked on doors and I've seen the people inside the window. They don't understand that you can see in the window sometimes. And I've seen them there and they don't want to come to the door. And I think about it and I think, if you only knew the message I have. I've got a message that can get your sins forgiven. I've got a message that can change your life. I've got a message that can change your marriage. I got a message that'll change your eternity. It's not my message. I'm giving somebody else's message. Well, I'll tell you what. It says, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Sometimes what you're trying to preach, somebody else, Satan, or one of his devils, one of the fallen angels that fell with him, they come around pretty good. And they take people's attention away. And they bring up causes. They bring up fights. They bring up disagreements. Things, anything that can take your attention away from your eternal soul being saved by the grace of God. If you look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 3, we have a problem here. We got a couple of young believers, new believers, Ananias and Sapphira. And Acts 4:3 said, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price? There were people that were giving themselves unto the apostles in this early church. And they, some of them had money, they had things, some of them gave it all. They sold their houses or possessions or lands and put all their money in the central pot and everybody lived out of it. And they preached the gospel and just really carried the message in a strong way. And Ananias and Sapphira said, well, you know, we'd like to be in on that, you know, sort of that inner group there, that really good, fine group of people. And so they sold some things, but they kept back part of it, and they acted like they gave it all. And you know what Peter said? Why has Satan? He mentions him, calls him by name. Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Do you ever believe that you can get away from God? Do you think when the lights are off, God can't see you? Any of you think anything like that? Does that ever come to your mind? Is that only some little kids? I believe that a whole lot of people think God doesn't see what they're doing. Or that God's not ever going to judge. There's never going to be a judgment. I'm going to get away with everything that I do. Well, Satan evidently makes people think that way. Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Have you ever thought about it? You can't lie to God. You can't lie to God. God knows what you're going to say before you say it. You're dealing with God. He is all powerful, all knowing, all wise. He's God. And God, in all of His wonderful power, has made a way of salvation that does not depend upon your works. That does not depend upon your righteousness. That does depend on you confessing your sin. It does depend upon you knowing I need a Savior. Wow. I got that salvation. Some of you got that salvation.
Amen.
Jesus paid my debt.
Amen.
I'm never going to have to pay. Now, I sometimes remember some of my sins. I just told you about one problem I had, and I had to work it out. That was 60-something years ago. You know what? My sins are gone.
Amen.
The Bible actually tells you, I'm not going to turn to it, but He removed them as far as the east is from the west.
Amen.
How far is that? Can you measure that? No, it's going two different directions. How far is the east or the west? He said He buried him in the depths of the sea. I wonder whether you've seen some of these things where they say they're going to take the sea back so you can look at the bottom. You know, they've got all the radar and stuff like that. Actually, there's some fascinating stories. That ocean's pretty deep. There's some of them you can't go down to get to where that ship is because it's a mile or two or three down deep. There are canyons out in that ocean bigger than the Grand Canyon. And that's a job right there. That's a big thing. Once you've seen it, wow. You have to say wow. I think there was a big flood sometime. I think there was a big flood that just a whole lot of water as it was running off cut that thing up. I don't think it was over just millions of years. I think it probably was in a pretty short time. But at any rate, Satan speaks in your own voice. You notice how God speaks to you that way too? He's working in your mind, in your heart. God can speak to you. Sometimes when the Word of God is being preached, God is speaking to you. Sometimes He's blessing you, and sometimes He's reproving you. Sometimes He's trying to get you to see something with a little different light. And we need to look at a lot of things in a little different light. Now, something else about Satan. 2 Corinthians 11:13 says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." Do you realize that not all the preachers are saved? Not all the churches are right. Not all the doctrine is true. You got a mess out here and you got to make some decisions. And if you make the wrong decision, bless your heart, you're going to suffer for it. False apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostle of Christ. Now look at verse 14, if you're there. I'll read it for you. And no marvel. No marvel. No marvel that we got deceitful workers and false apostles. And sorry apostles of Christ, supposedly. No marvel. Why? Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You know how Satan's going to come to you? With an answer to your problem.
Yeah. Amen.
He's going to come to you with a shortcut.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You don't have to go the way God says. You don't have to go the way your folks maybe taught you to go. You don't have to go the way the Bible says. You got a better way. You can get around it. You can lie. You can cheat. No. You can't get away with it. Isn't it an amazing thing? Have you thought about it? Have you realized God is ever present everywhere? You cannot get away from God. I don't care what the devil tells you. I don't care what your neighbor tells you. I don't care what your own heart tells you. You cannot get away from God. God's just too big. He's too big, too great. He's bigger than my mind can conceive. I think I'm a pretty smart fella. But he's bigger than my mind. I don't have any categories I can drop him into and say he goes here no further. No, not at all. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. They always have an answer. But let me tell you what, you're a whole lot better off to go God's way. You would find God's way? Sometimes I realize that's very hard. Sometimes it's very hard to go God's way. And yet, if you can find God's way, it's the only way to go. Not only for this life, but for the next. You have a defense. Husbands and wives, man, you ought to read 1 Corinthians 7:5. Defraud ye not one the other, except to be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. Come together again. That Satan tempt you not for your incontinency, your lack of self-control. Marriage is a wonderful thing. And marriage should take care of the sexual desires of the partners. And only them. But it should take care of them. And if it doesn't, you leave yourself open to temptation. So he tells you then, Satan tempts you not for your incontinency. I mentioned forgiveness a little while ago. I think it's one of the biggest problems we have. The grudges we carry. Do you still think of some things that happened to you in high school? Sure you do. Do you think of something that happened years ago in your marriage? Sure, a lot of people do. You know what you need to do? You need to be forgiving. And why in the world would I say that? Because God forgave you.
Yes. Yes, sir, amen.
I don't believe anybody has ever hurt me as much as I have hurt God.
Amen.
I've done some bad things in my life. I've said some bad things in my life. I've had hate in my heart in my life. I've wanted to kill people. Now, I've never killed anybody, not even as a soldier. Never shot a gun except at a target. Never had to shoot at a person in my life. But you know something? I've sinned. I'm very selfish and self-centered. Aren't you?
Amen.
Aren't you? The base root of sin. You know, we used to say, you know, hey, how do you spell sin? Take the I out of sin, it doesn't spell sin. S-I-N, take the I out. take you out of it. Take you out of the problem. You out of the money. You out of the job. You out of having your way. It'd improve everything a whole lot if we were just a little unselfish. We're so self-centered. We're so worried about what people think of us. We want to be thought well of, though we don't live that good a life. But what are we doing? We're making it a difficult situation for us to walk in the presence of God. Marriage? Yes, you ought to really be forgiving. But let me tell you something else. You ought to really be forgiving on everybody else. Somebody in this church offends you? Forgive them. They don't have to come to you. Don't be sitting back and saying, when they come and get out on their knees and confess their sin to me and tell me that they really don't. No. How did God forgive you? Do you know what I believe? You know what I understand? God took the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, absolute perfection by the law, established it. And he said, Lendl, I'm going to take all of your sins and all of your life, and I'm going to give you Christ's righteousness. That's salvation. That's what God offers. Some people think it's too much, can't be, too easy. Oh, my friend, a gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And you turn that down. You walk away from that? I wouldn't. That's the greatest offer you'll ever have. You're talking about eternal life, perfect righteousness. Given as a gift by the grace of God, not by your merits. You don't deserve it, not a one of you do. You may be better than all of us, but you're still not good enough. Forgiveness. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:10, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, forgive I it in the person of Christ. Look down in, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. There's an important verse there. Above all, what do you think that means? Is that hard to interpret? Above all, verse 16, Ephesians 6, 16, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He's telling you to believe God, and that's the answer to meeting every challenge you have in your life. Above all, on all the things that come your way, on all the sickness and all the pain and all of the disappointment and all of the sin and all of the being not treated right by the world. What do? You're going to fight the whole world? You're going to fight everybody that disagrees with you? That's not right. Above all, taking the shield of faith. What is that faith? That God Almighty has blessed His Word, and by His grace, He has given you a gift of eternal life with a perfect righteousness before the law of God for all eternity. And it's a gift. Nobody can brag on it. We're not going to be bragging on all sorts of people in heaven. We make a bunch of statues about people down here. We have places where we got their faces painted on them. Mike Jackson was teasing me about they were going to put a Christmas tree on top of this thing and have a picture of me out there. That's not what I want. I did not want that. But he was having a good time. Thinking he messed with me a little bit, you know. But that's all right. I messed with him a few times too. You know something? Take the shield of faith. Why don't you believe what he says? If you have literally been forgiven, do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you believe you've given all the sins you ever did from the time you were born to all the way to get here? You think you were forgiven for Adam's sin too inside of that? Do you think you're forgiven for everything you're ever going to do? Right. If God has been so generous to you,
Amen.
Why would you worry about a few words somebody says?
Amen.
Why would you worry about even somebody cheating you out of a little bit of money? What are you going around and holding yourself up so high for? Why don't you realize everything you've got is a gift? A gift from a generous God. Wow, that blesses my heart. That blesses my heart. Well, 1 Peter 5:8 is one of those great verses. You really ought to know it. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, I didn't say it. The Holy Spirit through Peter said it. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And back to Ephesians 6:16, above all, take the shield of faith. You need to believe God's book above all everything else, whatever there is. Number one, you believe what God has said. And you believe that gospel, it'll bless your heart all the rest of your life. And then it'll bless you throughout eternity. You have an adversary, don't let him take advantage of you. Be forgiving. Be forgiving. Be super forgiving because you have been super forgiven. Far as the east from the west, buried in the depths of the sea to be remembered against you no more. That's where my sins are. Yeah, that's where my sins are. Where are yours? You know what? God is rich unto all that call upon him. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for so many blessings you've given us. We thank you most of all that you have prepared us to withstand and in the evil day to stand. You've given us eternal salvation and perfect righteousness as a free gift of your grace. And God, you love us and you abide with us every day. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not saved, talk to one of us. Get saved today. Take the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. May God bless you. Come back to